The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Well, this is the time of year for leftovers, is it not? Y'all sick of leftovers? Do you go to the refrigerator and open the door and just sort of get nauseous when you look at the Tupperware bowls? Personally, I don't suffer extremely from that issue, but I have at least one in my home that does. Just look at those Tupperware bowls and just that snarl comes up. Oh, I don't want those leftovers. Leftover turkey and dressing, leftover ham, leftover sandwiches. Make sandwiches out of the ham that's left over. Make sandwiches out of the turkey that's left over. Make sure the mayonnaise hadn't spoiled. I mean, it's just leftovers, leftovers, leftovers. And as sick as that makes us, just imagine how God feels when all we give him is our leftovers. Just imagine. You get sick looking at that Tupperware bowl. And can you imagine the Lord being up in heaven, craning his ear over to listen as you or I utter out our first prayer of the day at the end of the day at 10:30 at night when we've done all of our work throughout the day and we're exhausted and we start to pray and all of a sudden the Lord hears... How do you think the Lord feels about that leftover? That kind of stings a little bit, doesn't it? Do you know my granddaddy McCool, about maybe two times in his life, did Grandmother McCool ever fix him leftovers for a meal? Mr. Hayward remembers my granddaddy well. And Mom would always get a little bit upset because Grandmother McCool would fix just enough for the meal. And Mom would sweat it out because you've been to eat at Mom's table. There's going to be leftovers for days. She's trying to send it home with you. But Grandmother McCool, she had a different tactic. And she had a method behind her tactic because her man, her husband, he just detested leftovers. Now, be that right or wrong, he just didn't like leftovers. And Grandmother McCool, she honored that. And she would always fix just enough. And I can remember many times scooping out the last butter beans. And say, well, I got the last. There'll be no leftovers. I don't think but maybe once or twice in his whole life he ever ate any leftovers. And think about that in your own experience. We don't really care for the leftovers. I'll just give you a personal example. Sometimes when I have been just slugging it out, knocking myself down, and giving everybody from the office, maybe even to church situation, maybe to study. I've given everybody my best. I've given everything I've got, and I come home, and I'm completely dead, and I'm cranky. And my dear, sweet wife has told me many times, she said, don't just give us the leftovers. That cuts me to the heart in a good way. And I think to myself, I thank God I've got somebody that will tell me that. I don't want to just give my family the leftovers. Proverbs 3 and 9 is my text this morning, if you hadn't already guessed it. Proverbs 3 and 9. As you're turning there, I'll read to you. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is telling us to not give the Lord our leftovers. He is worthy of that which is fresh and first. And Proverbs 3 and 9 again says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Listen to the definition of the word substance. It means wealth. Substance means wealth. And I know how we generally think about this verse. We think, okay, it's talking about money. Well, it is. It's talking about finances. It's talking about goods. And I want to show you what this meant to the Israelites, how important this was to them. And then hopefully relate it to what it means to us today. If you want to look to Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, we want to see what this meant to the Israelites. And remember that this concept is not something new that Solomon was writing about. Deuteronomy 26 is where I'll be turning to. This concept, this teaching of honoring the Lord with your first fruits, with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase, goes all the way back to the days of Adam. And we read about a man named Abel who was one of the first children born into this world. And it says what? It says that he brought of the what? The lastlings of the flock? The leftovers of the flock? No, notice the language, because the language is key. It says he brought the firstlings of the flock, the first fruit of the flock of sheep that he was raising. He brought that and sacrificed that to the Lord. He said, that's a strange thing. You mean he brought the first, the best? That's exactly right, because the Lord is worthy. Deuteronomy 26. Listen to what this meant to the Israelites. Let's read now. The Lord is telling them through Moses that when you come into the land, I want you to do something. When you come into the land flowing with milk and honey, listen to the language. Deuteronomy 26. It shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possesseth it and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, listen to how specific this is, okay? Because you might be thinking, how do we do this? He says, thou shalt put it in the basket. That's simple, isn't it? You will put of the first in a basket, and you will go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest. You say, what do I do when I get there? Go to the priest, and that shall be the priest in those days, and say to him, what do I say when I get there? He says, put it in a basket. He says, go to the priest. And he says, say these words. I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down. But what's he going to do with it? He's going to set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. It's very specific. It's very easy, isn't it? Is there a child under the sound of my voice this morning that can understand what I'm saying that doesn't understand and picture in your mind of gathering of the first of the fruit and putting it in the basket, taking it to the priest. The priest takes it. You speak words, take it out of his hand, put it in front of the altar. Verse 5, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. Listen to what you must say now before the Lord if you're an Israelite. A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. This is key language. Now, I don't want you to forget it. Listen to what they remember. Laid upon us hard bondage, and when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders, and he brought us unto this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, watch the language, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. What did the first fruits mean to the Israelites? It meant what I just described to you. Get your basket, gather it together. You say, well, I don't know how much is the first fruits. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, you don't have to turn there, but it answers that question. It says, bring a sheaf. And the word sheaf means a heap. So if you can picture, you've just taken your corn and you've piled it up in a big pile, and you look at it and you just gather a big heap out of that and you put it in the basket. You say, well, what's the size of the basket? It tells you what the size of the baskets were, what they would hold. It says an omer, O-M-E-R. It's a measurement that they used back in those days. It even told you how much to put in there. And over in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, it gives you more detail about the Passover and the Feast of the Ingathering. It says you would gather that heap together, put it in a basket. And he says you would also bring a lamb. This was a different offering now. You would bring a lamb and you'd bring a meat offering, which I think was also a bullock and a couple other sheep. And then you'd bring a drink offering of wine. You'd bring all that up there to the priest. Very specific. And he said, when you did that at the Feast of the Ingathering, you count 50 days. And after 50 days would be the next feast, which was the day of Pentecost. Very familiar from the book of Acts, right? And then on that 50th day, you'd make another offering. More of the firstlings, more of the first fruit. The Lord was very specific. The Israelites understood what he meant when he said, honor the Lord with thy substance. And the first fruits, not the leftovers. Now listen, you said, well, that was just a windfall for the priests, wasn't it? Not at all. Numbers, the 18th chapter, tells what the priests were to do. They get all of this heaps. Can you imagine all the people, a million people? Could you imagine? It was more than a million. But could you imagine a million people bringing those heaps in? They had to have a large storeroom, did they not? He said, what did the priests do with it? The Lord said, I have given this to you.
You don't burn this particular section of it. You don't sacrifice a portion of it, and it's given to the priest because they didn't have an inheritance in the land. And the Lord commanded them in Numbers 18, he said, and you give a tenth, which was representative of the first of what the donation of the people was. You see, the people would give all this great store, and then the priest was required to give to the Lord. And it means they would give that to the fatherless, to the widow, to the orphan, and they would even sacrifice that to the Lord. They wouldn't eat it. See, it was given to the Lord. It was holy. You see, that even the priest could not give the leftovers. Now, I think you and I could both agree about how many places that you could find a fudge in this. And the people did. In Malachi, the first chapter in the 8th verse, if you want to turn there, that's the last book before the Gospels. Listen to the language of condemnation that Malachi, the last prophet, and then there was a 400-year break. This was the end of the prophets until Jesus himself, John the Baptist, comes and Jesus follows. In Malachi, the first chapter, he is railing upon them for the way they were abusing this process that I've just described to you. Now listen. He says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, Malachi 1 and 8, is it not evil? That's very plain language, isn't it, Brother Neil? Very plain language. He said, is it right? Is it wrong? He says, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, it is evil. And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Lord's got a little bit of a sense of humor, a little bit of irony there. He says, you invite the governor over. If I was going to have the governor of the state of Alabama to come to McCool Farm and have a meal, and she says, I'm coming to have a meal. I want to taste that McCool Farm Black Angus. Used to be registered. They're not registered anymore, but they're still basically the same. I want to have a taste of that McCool Farm Black Angus steak that I've heard about. And I say, yes, ma'am. And I go out into the field and I look over all these cows. There was this one cow. Last week they worked cows on the farm. Brother David, he knows what I'm talking about. A cow that almost killed three folks last week, almost ran over. Crazy cow. Jumped over the fence. I'm talking about this high of a fence. She jumped over it, tore up this, tore up that. She's bleeding out her nose. I'm not going to pick that cow. There's something wrong with her. She might be a mad cow. I'm just kidding. Not people are going to listen to this on the podcast. We don't have mad cow disease on the McCool Farm. That's important in agriculture. If Daddy was here, he'd have just jumped. Listen, I'm not going to go out there and find a little three-legged cow. I'm not going to go out there and find some cow that's got some kind of blemish. I'm going to go look for the best. The Lord says, you go put the worst that you're putting in front of me, put your leftovers in front of the governor. Let's bring it a little bit closer to home. The governor says she's coming to your house. And you say, well, let's get out today. She's coming today. Let's get out the leftovers and just, you know, give the warmed over Tupperware stuff, you know, to the governor. You going to do that? See how the governor likes that. Hey, governor, I got you some I got something out of my Tupperware bowl here for you. She's going to be like, You going to do that for the governor? The Lord says, go do that for the governor. Give the governor the leftovers. See, they had a problem. Now, for us today, this means so much. To understand what it means to honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. To not give the Lord the leftovers. It dispels categories in our lives. It dispels the checklist. And I've checked off church. I've checked off work. I've checked off home. I've checked off Bible reading. It dispels those checklists. And it takes over. When we understand what it means. When we understand keeping the Lord in the forefront of our lifestyle and our activities and our finances and our attitude. It takes over. And you know what he said? It leads to blessings. It's not just, okay, the Lord commands it, huh? It's not like that. The Lord commands it, amen. That's the way it is, you see? It's a blessing. Matthew 6 and 33 says what? Very famous verse. He says, seek ye what? As the leftovers of the kingdom of God? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Yes, it has to do with money. I've used this example before. The first check that we write out of our account on a monthly basis, the first check, the first fruit, when the Lord has blessed you to live another month and be able to provide and do the things that you do, the first check that comes out of the checkbook ought to be the check to the Lord. You say, well, Brother Tim, how do I make it out? Jehovah? Lord Jehovah? The Almighty? You make it out to your local church. Because you know what? That local church is the outpost of the Lord. You see, that's how it works. See, they didn't go take the big basket up to the temple and stand before the altar and go, "Woo, here, Jehovah." They didn't throw it up. They gave it to the priests, you see? They gave it to the place where God had designated his name. You see that? First check that you write out of your checkbook ought to be to the Lord. But usually, a lot of times, after we pay the bills, after we write the check to Academy, after we write the check to Belk, I got a little bit left. I'll write the Lord something out of that. We just gave the Lord the leftovers, you see? What about giving the Lord the leftovers of your prayers? I already mentioned that. Lord doesn't want to hear your snores at night when you've just remembered, "Oh, I was supposed to pray." You know? It says in Psalms 5:3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." Ouch, that hurts, doesn't it? And sometimes you get up late in the morning and you think, "Oh, I'm asleep. I slept too late. I got to run. I got to do this. I got to get dressed. I got to brush my teeth. I got to go and eat a quick bite of breakfast. I got to get in the car. Put your hands on the steering wheel. I forgot to pray. The Lord was supposed to hear my voice in the morning." That's the first fruit, you see. Listen, this is why this is important. I want to go ahead and get this in front of you. Romans 11th chapter says that if the first fruit is holy, then the lump is also holy. That was the concept. That was the teaching of the Old Testament. If you brought the first fruit of the food, the first fruit of the crop, and set it before the Lord and said, "Lord, we give this to you." The first fruit of the firstlings of the flock were brought before the Lord. Then he blessed the whole crop, you see. See the opposite of that? If you bring the leftovers to the Lord, you missed the whole blessing on the crop. It doesn't mean you never have an animal die or never have some kind of blight or something strike the crop. It doesn't mean that. It means in the eyes of the Lord, what you are doing is holy before him. And if we utter our voice to the Lord in the morning in prayer, he says, "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." You have blessed your whole day by doing that because you've given him the first fruits and the lump of your day. You're going to have a different outlook. There's many times I've gotten to the end of the day and I have just a pain hit my heart and I said, "I forgot to pray. I was too busy. I was running too hard. I was too busy doing this and doing that. I forgot to pray. I forgot to give the Lord the first fruits." And you know how good the Lord is to us. He doesn't squash you like a bug because you forgot. He just speaks that still small voice to your heart and says, "I forgive you. Now do it in the morning." What about the time you spend in study of the Word of God? I've said this many times. Studying the Word of God is compared to consuming a meal in the Scripture. And when you consume a meal, count up the amount of time that you really spend chewing and eating and swallowing and digesting. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, some of you maybe 45 or an hour. That was a joke. You get it later. Maybe it wasn't funny. But anyway, 45 minutes, 30 minutes that you actually spend eating. You know, God doesn't say, "Now spend 24 hours in your day studying." You can't do that. Nobody can do that. Just give the Lord that best time. Give the Lord that meal time. I mean, literally for me, many, many years ago, I set, and I'm just telling you, me, you don't have to follow my example. My best time of day, my priority time of day, my sharpest mental time of day is around noon. I prayed about that. I said, "Lord, when am I the dumbest and when am I the smartest?" Which is very smart, for sure. But I said, "Lord, bless me to understand when that is." And I believe it's in the middle of the day. And so there goes most of the time, there goes my lunches. I'm giving that time. I'm giving that 30 minutes, that 45 minutes, sometimes that hour. I'm giving that to the Lord because he's worthy. And I believe the Lord will bless me in that time where my mind is the sharpest, the best part of my mind, the first fruits of my mind, not the leftovers of my mind, but the first fruits so that I can study and learn. I can learn more in 30 minutes that way than I could ever learn in 2 hours at night when I'm about to fall asleep and I snore myself back awake trying to study the Word of God. So that's the leftovers, see? Now let me just say this as a side note too. And I know Brother Neil, Brother Luke, if he was here, they'd say the same thing. I don't ever want to serve you the same thing again and again. Did you know that? Now, when I say that, I want to always preach Christ. Don't get me wrong. But I have, in my own heart and my own mind, I have just determined that I'm just not going to get up here and preach the same sermon again and again. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to serve you leftovers. And there is a price to pay for that, is it not? You know what that price is? It is study. That is the price to pay. Because I might preach this chapter, Malachi, the first chapter, this year, and I might preach it next year, but I'm not going to preach it the same way. The Lord may speak it to me in a different way, in a different angle, and I want to preach to you things that are fresh and new that you can sink your teeth into, pun intended. You see? I don't want to serve you leftovers. There's many other places that we could look in our lives, if we will, where we are serving the Lord leftovers. What about one another? Parents, individuals, whoever you may be, did you know that hospitality is a sacred thing? Did you know that? What if when the triune God had showed up in the book of Genesis at Abraham's house, Abraham had said, I need y'all to come back when I get everything dusted. Or I'm tied up right now. You know, I'm tied up doing this. Or I've got this activity going on. I've got to drop my kids off. Like Brother Neil was preaching this morning, you know, I'm in that drop-off mode. I'm sorry, God, you're just going to have to come back at some point. Oh, our children, the younger generation, need to see us of all time sacrificing in that way with a godly attitude, being hospitable to one another. And not just having an afterthought. Oh, I forgot. I need to call so-and-so. I need to get with so-and-so. I need to fellowship with so-and-so. Oh, I forgot. After you got all of this stuff in, you see, that's the leftovers. You see, but it's not really God showing up, is it, Brother Tim? Like the triune God showed up for Abraham. It is Christ in you showing up to one another, you see? That's how we minister and speak to one another. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory that's there. Oh, we need to model that. We don't need to give one another our leftovers. You come over to my house today. I'm not going to throw some leftovers out there. I know my wife would not do it. I would not give you my leftovers. You're not an afterthought to me. You're a forethought to me. You're not a leftover. You are the firstlings. You are the first to me in this community. You are the first thought on my mind in the morning. You are the first thing to me. What about the Lord? There's many other ways that we could run this. You say, well, I just don't know if I can sacrifice that way, Brother Tim. Well, nobody's asking you to sacrifice like Hannah did. Nobody's asking you to give up your son and let the priest adopt him and let him live there for the rest of his life when he's about 4 years old. Nobody's asking you to do that. That was pretty major. Samuel was her firstborn son, and she promised to give her firstborn son to the temple, and she did. Oh, there's been many revivals in the scripture marked by a return to honoring the Lord with our first fruits and not with our leftovers. The days of Hezekiah, that's one of those. The days of Nehemiah, that's another one of those, where they speak specifically of honoring the Lord with their substance, with their wealth. And I'm going to tell you what your most valuable commodity is. It's not how much money you got in your checkbook. It's not how many lands you own. It's not how many houses you have. It's not how many crops you've grown. It's not how many cows you have or sheep, if you have any. It is your time. Your time is your most valuable commodity. And the Lord does not say, give me 24 hours of your time. The Lord just says, give me the first fruits. When you rise in the morning and speak to the Lord, whenever you study the Word of God throughout the day, whenever you implement the things of God in your life, you're giving Him the first fruits. What about God giving us the first fruits as we wind this up this morning? What about God? The first thing that God did on the first day, what did He say? He spoke and He said, let there be light. That was a pretty good first fruit, wasn't it? He gave you light. The reason we can see here now, that was a valuable tool to give to us, wasn't it? He said, let there be light. What I spoke to you about Egypt a moment ago. Isaiah 43:3, the Lord says that I gave Egypt as a ransom. And the word ransom, it means money. So literally, the Lord gave Egypt as a ransom for His people. In Exodus 4:22, it says this, when God spoke to Moses, He says, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Are you listening? Firstborn, first fruit. He said, Israel is my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Are you listening to that? And on Exodus, the 11th chapter, it says on the night, the Lord said at midnight, I will come and I will take the firstborn son. He says, I will take the firstborn sons, even all the way down to the beasts, even the dogs that were firstborn, even the cats that were firstborn, even the cattle that were firstborn. The Lord slew the best. You see what I'm saying? Egypt was the best that man had in those days from a military standpoint, from an agricultural standpoint, from every standpoint you can imagine, culture and social. They were the highest. They were the best. And the Lord ransomed His people by paying the first fruit, by paying the best. And it was Egypt. You say, that's not fair. Go call the ACLU. They'll file a lawsuit. Everything the Lord does is right. It was right for God to ransom that wicked nation that was oppressing His people. If they hadn't been oppressing His people, it was still right for God to ransom them, because God never does anything wrong. He took the best nation, the most powerful nation, and He says, that's what I'm going to use. That's the first fruit that I will give to ransom my people and bring my own nation out. You see, God, He can do it how He wants to do it. In John 3 and 16, what did He say? For God so loved the world that He gave His leftover Son. Did He say that? Let me tell you something. God would not sell you short. He has given you the best. He has given you the most complete and greatest and most wondrous Savior that could ever be thought of. He says, I have given you my only begotten Son. Not only was He the first and the best, He was the only one. You see? Oh, the Lord didn't say, well, let's just go get some leftover angel and sit down there. No, it says He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that the first fruit would be holy. The whole lump would be holy. If the first fruit is holy, the whole lump is holy. Romans the 8th chapter and the 29th verse, language that I don't think you need to miss. I don't think we should miss it, as it's smack dab right there in the middle of that area of Scripture that's rubbed as slick as a mink by old Baptists, as they say. In Romans 8:29, it says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, His Son, might be what? The firstborn among many brethren. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it says that He was the first fruits from the dead. You see, Jesus Christ has secured the whole lump. Why? Because the Lord has given of His wealth. He's given of His substance, and the substance that He gave was a first fruit, which is His Son. You say, I need an incentive to give the first fruits of my time, of my prayers, of my study, of all of my life. There it is. The Lord gave the best He had. I think that worked out pretty well for Him. Because in giving the best that He had, He secured a number that no man can number. And it says in Hebrews 12, 22 and 23, it says that we are not come unto the mount that trembled in the Old Testament. He says, you are come to the New Jerusalem. He calls it the church of the what? The church of the firstborn. This is the church of the firstborn. This is the church of the firstlings of the flock. This is the church of Jesus Christ, who was the best that God had to offer. So if you're struggling with leftovers, just go ahead and throw them away. And my wife is loving to hear that right now. Let's throw away the leftovers. Let's start fresh. In the morning when you rise, offer that prayer to the Lord. And tomorrow when you identify the best part of your day, give that 5 minutes, give 10 minutes to the Lord of your most mentally sharp time. Don't just leave the leftovers for your family. Don't just wear yourself slugging it out there in the world, and you've got nothing left to give them when you come in. Because the Lord, He gave the best. He gave the best nation for the nation of Israel. And He gave the best that He had, His Son, for His people. Acts the 20th chapter and the 7th verse. You say, Brother Tim, I want to start. Well, whether you realize it or not, you're already starting. You're already starting. You're here right now. You're here today. You've already started giving the first fruits. Acts 20 and 7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. How about that? See, I want to start with the first fruits. You are. Our mentality in our culture is to think Monday's the first day of the week, because that's when I start making money again, or trying to make money, right? That's when the check start coming. That's when the time starts rolling. And at the end of the week, there Friday, you know, I'll get the paycheck. Well, I hate to tell you, but the first day of the week is Sunday. That's the day of creation. It's the day that God said, let there be light. It's the day that Jesus, the first fruits, was resurrected from the grave. And it is the day that we come here and we give the Lord that one day. He didn't say 7 days. He said, give Him that one day. We'll sacrifice that one day. Give Him the firstlings of your week. Give Him the first fruit of your week. And you're doing that right now while you're sitting here. This is Sunday. This is the first day of the week. You're already doing it.
And I believe when we realize that in our mind, I believe we're making the whole week holy. You hear me? Don't miss the opportunity to make your whole week holy by giving the Lord the first fruits. Don't miss the opportunity of making your day a consecrated, sanctified day because you've given the Lord the first word out of your mouth. You've given Him the first thought from your mind. Oh, Lord, thank you for letting me wake up for another day. Oh, when I see something like this in the Scripture, I realize my shortcomings. But I want to do better. Do you? Let's don't serve the Lord the leftovers. Let's give Him the first fruits. He deserves it.